to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going to do something that I've just really gotten to enjoy here. So Copper does a great job in-house, taking care of all the things that it takes to run this show. She answers the phones, runs the board, keeps me in line, you know, does all the stuff that happens in-house. And I always joke that Copper works in-house, but yet Birdman works the outhouse. So, but nonetheless, Birdman does a great deal of stuff behind the scenes. All the electronics, all the social media, all of the updates to the website, postings of things that we do, even taking pictures at our events. So Birdman does a great job with all of that. So Copper and the Birdman have started coming on the show once a week or so, and we opine together. Now's the time, Copper and the Birdman. Let me do the roll call. Copper, I know you're still here, right?
Yes, indeed.
There you are. And Birdman, you with us?
Howdy, howdy.
Hey. All right. I'm going to tell you right now. So do you have our temporary sound effect ready, Copper? You do? So let me just go ahead and yell Copper and the Birdman, and you hit it. Ready? Copper and the Birdman.
Woo-hoo! You guys didn't tell me about that one.
No, it was a surprise. It was a last-minute surprise. Let's do it one more time. That was just too fun. Can you do it one more time, Copper? Are you still good?
I have to go back through.
Oh, never mind. Crap. Okay, great. All right, we'll just drive on. All right, listen, guys. I got several questions. You kind of know what they are, but let me just hit them first. All right. So, number one, Ukraine. As we're looking at the news right now, I'm curious your thoughts on the war in Ukraine. Is it a national interest for the United States? That's a loaded question that maybe even some career diplomats can't answer. But is it, in your opinion, a national interest for the United States? And I'll just go ahead and step over and do Birdman first. You go.
Yeah, so like you said, this is a super, super loaded question. I don't think any of us have the time to delve fully into it. But, you know, from a surface level, the more this has gone on, the more I've realized that the adage of weak men create hard times is becoming more and more relevant because we're seeing it unfold. And I think a lot of weakness from an early standpoint in this administration has helped bring the world to where we're at in this. And up until recently, I've kind of had the mindset of it's a tragedy, but, you know, we need to do what we can from a reasonable point of view. But the diplomacy aspect of this, at what point are we going to push it? And that's kind of my concern, is the diplomacy of this. I think it was Ben Shapiro said something about, you know, when we exhaust all the options with diplomacy, what are we left with? And I think with Putin's recent sanctions on the U.S. and specifically who he targeted in those, I think it's a bad look. And like I said, there's a lot to cover here, but I hope that it's not something that becomes a gravely national interest, but it is something that has to be at least mentally, you have to be mentally prepared for.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Copper, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, when national interest is defined, people say it refers to the state's goals, ambitions, whether that's economic, military, cultural, or more. And I think this impacts all of those things, particularly our name, our reputation abroad. But definitely our economics are being impacted right now. And even if we don't want huge amounts of our military over there because there's not a direct threat here, I think this has great consequences and just reinforces Europe's opinion that America is always half-hearted when a crisis actually hits, that we talk big and we pretend we're these big heroes, and then when something happens, we're the last people to get involved. And I think for our long-term goals, that's not a good look for America.
No, that's well articulated, both of you. So then let me ask this then. Do you see I'm throwing you a curveball here. Do you see a red line that if Putin crosses it, that in your opinion, would you see U.S. troops, or for that matter, U.S. Air Force in and around inside Ukraine? Do you see that happening? Is there a red line that you're thinking of?
I think it's a possibility. I'm not going to say there's
what's the red line? Do you know one?
Well, I think that a lot of this kind of stems around this conversation of the weapons of mass destruction, the biological weapons, things like that, because that has been, as the war machine of Russia has been slowing down in Ukraine, let's be honest, Russia has been kind of following their stereotypical playbook of the last 100 and something years of, if they get backed in a corner, they just start leveling things. And they are, frankly, they are following a very old Russian playbook, and I think that's why a lot of officials are starting to kind of up the ante on their concern of this. And I think this 67-page worldwide threat assessment that was just issued, I think that's kind of proof of kind of where the officials in our government and our military is at mentally. And I think that red line is that the biological weapons that are on the, you know, on the discussion block right now.
Okay. All right. Copper, your thoughts. Is there a red line?
I think if Zelensky is killed, or if they invade a second country, then we're going to be done with watching and we're going to head over there. Probably more likely if they invade a second country, but with Zelensky gone, again, that hero mindset's going to kick in. They don't have a leader now. Time for backup.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Yeah, I hadn't really thought much about the Zelensky, but you're certainly right. And especially if that second country is a NATO country. If it's NATO, if they you know, cross over into Poland, if they try to take Estonia, Lithuania, the Baltic states, then we got big issues. But then I totally agree. The WMD to include, I would not just go bio on that. I would say that if Putin, who has rattled that saber already, if he decides that a tactical nuke is what he needs to level his playing field, then I think that's game on. We have to do something at that point.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to switch gears on you. Totally switching. Coming home. All right. We got a governor's race going on. There's 8 candidates in this race. Who do you like? Just tell me what you're seeing. It doesn't matter who it is. This is what we call a non-attribution moment. You state your opinion here. Copper, you first this time. Who do you like for governor?
Okay. I liked Linda Blanchard more at the start. But sometimes in interviews, she seems a little shaky, like she doesn't quite have her feet under her yet. So Lou Burdett has started growing on me a bit. Tim James is too much, I think, the typical, I like football and my daddy was a politician and business is all I focus on. So I don't know. That's a bit too predictable to me.
Okay.
But the others, all right. The others I like.
So yeah, so Lindy Blanchard originally, but you're looking at Lou Burdett right now as the one that you see as being in your own mind, at least, is a candidate you would lean towards.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Birdman.
Wow. So this is kind of funny. I'm actually right on the same lines as Copper. I mean, like almost to a T. I think she stole my script for this because I will pretty much kind of resonate with what she said. I really liked Lindy at first, and I don't have a problem with her. Don't get me wrong. But I think Louis Burdett has kind of taken a stronger stance, at least from a speech policy. As far as like hearing them talk, hearing the way they stand on their issues, I just lean towards the... I feel like Lou is just kind of ingrained in it more. I feel like it's a very passionate thing from him. And I also like the guy's background. I really, really like the guy's background. The only thing that I, you know, outside looking in, I wish he was stronger on Second Amendment discussion. That is the one thing I would say, and that's just a personal thing. But I feel like even on his website and stuff like that, that's the one thing that kind of makes me kind of waver a little bit. He's just not strong in the Second Amendment, and in Alabama, and to me personally, that's a big deal.
Okay, when you say not strong, like he's got some policies you think give you misgivings, or he's just not talking about it enough?
The latter. He's just very weak on his speech about it, and especially if you look on his website when you talk, you know, in his speech about, you know, what he believes in and all that and what he stands for. Hey, spot on, doing a great job. But the only thing that is on public, you know, forum like his website is that he's for defending the Second Amendment, and that's about it. It doesn't go into any depth.
Okay, so I am hearing right now, Copper and the Birdman are both leaning towards Lou Burdett. That's interesting. So in about, like, give me a 10 or 12 second soundbite answer here. Have you spoken to anybody else from your age demographic about this, like other folks that feel the same way? Are you hearing that same thing, or is this just your opinion solely on your own? Copper, you first.
Just mine. I would be interested to run a little poll to see if this is common across our generation. I haven't heard that many people be super excited about Tim James, like maybe some older folks are. Kay Ivey is still pretty popular among some people I know.
Okay. Birdman?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't spoken to hardly anybody about this kind of stuff. The only conversation I've had about any of these candidates with my friends was actually Dean Odle, and that extended from the interview he had with Dale Jackson a while back.
The Flat Earth.
But other than that, interview? No.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and take a break, Copper. Move us to the break. And when we get back, Copper and the Birdman, stupidest story of the week, in your opinion. I'm curious to hear, because I think there's been several. All right. So I'm curious to hear what y'all come up with, because I think several times we've done this and y'all wing stories out there that I didn't even know existed. So I'm curious to hear stupidest story of the week with Copper and the Birdman coming up right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, yep, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back right now, got some time here with Copper and the Birdman. They're the ones who literally keep this show running. I mean, like, the trains run on time because of them, and I appreciate it very much. And I also enjoy the fact, though, that I got some smart people that work with me, and they are them. So let me just do this now. By the way, great job a minute ago, like to the point of note-taking over here on your thoughts on the Ukraine situation, on who's running for governor. But now on a much lighter note, lady and gentleman, the stupidest story of the week. What did you see out there that you're like, good gosh? I mean, I think in rotating, I'm back to going to Birdman first. Stupidest story of the week. What you got, man?
Okay. So, man, I love this segment. Okay. Stacey Abrams, the governor of Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all heard this, but yesterday she apparently was a cameo on Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Which, I mean, listen, I'm a Star Wars nerd, so no disrespect there. But in this, she was the president of the United Earth, which is a little on the nose for the way that she governs. That's all I'm going to say. But it was a heck of a thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, she was all dudeed up, had the whole thing, and came across as quite the stately, diplomatic person. I saw the video last night on one of the Fox reports, and I was like, good Lord. Not only that, but you look at it and go, talk about pandering to someone who is trying to run for governor. So she's running for governor, and libs are saying, man, give her a part in a Star Trek show. And it's just, that was an awful and stupid story. Yes, it was. All right, so Copper, stupidest story of the week on your part. Did you pick the same one or something different?
Nope, something different.
All right.
So apparently Twitter has added a downvote option to the comment sections of Twitter posts. So not the original post, but the comments on the post. People can downvote them now. So I'm just wondering here at the thought process. Did the leaders of Twitter get together in a room while on crack and be like, how can we make Twitter more toxic? How can we monetize negativity more? Oh, I know, let's add a downvote button. That's worked really well for other places.
So what are you saying they do? Like if you put a post on Twitter and I was to comment on it, what do you mean? Like people could go download my comment? What are
Correct.
You saying?
Correct. So if you made a conservative comment on a news article and then a bunch of mad liberals came along, they could downvote you into obscurity. Of course, also comment nasty things and stuff.
Wow. I don't know that I understand that fully, but you guys are tech people, so I will take that as a stupid story of the week. I'm balanced with you. I'm speaking of which, I just posted something on Twitter during one of the breaks a little while ago. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. Birdman, I know that you're a classic rock fan, but speaking of Twitter, epic trolling going on right now. The Ukrainians are just social mediaing Putin into a non-existent state right now, and they took a montage of clips of destroying of Russian vehicles and put it on a soundtrack of Highway to Hell by AC/DC and released it to the world. And nice. it's getting viral. It's on my Twitter feed right now. But all right, you guys, good. Hey, Copper, do you have the camel? Can you do the camel one more time? Is it possible? If I yell it, you tell me when. I won't do it. We'll do it. Oh Lord, Copper, come on! You're on the spot. You know what this is, right, Birdman? You know where that came from.
You're gonna get downvoted on Twitter.
Okay, you can go.
All right, Copper and the Birdman. Nice. Okay. All right, you guys. Yeah, Birdman, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Copper and I are gonna hang around a little longer and finish out the show.
Sounds good. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too, man. All right, folks, what a great team. Listen, and that's just fun, but they do a good job. And this audience is what makes the show. This audience is why we do what we do. But it's also cool to have good people working with you who get the job done. So, yep, I enjoy that, Copper and the Birdman. We need to go ahead and like find a way to formalize that. Maybe we just record it. Me yelling Copper and the Birdman with the whoop whoop, and that's your sound effect from now on.
Okay, so, we can do that.
We'll figure it out. But either way, I think it's to the point now that I want to keep doing this, and y'all deserve your own sound effect. So we're just gonna make that happen. All right, listen, coming up next, folks, I'm moving to the biggest story of the decade, Ukraine. I'm calling it, and I've been calling it this fairly frequently, Ukraine, what now, what next? I mean, there's things that are happening in real time. So I'll be doing some quick checks of the news headlines before I come back from the break. But I've also got a stack of paper here, as I usually do. And there are things that are happening right now, like clear indications. It's not going the way Vladimir Putin thought it would. Clear indications right now that conservative estimates are that Russia has lost upwards of 7,000 troops thus far in the invasion. Clear indications their logistical trains are not going well, but also clear indications that they are still pounding the Ukrainian civilian sector into the last century. And it's getting kind of epic in scale on the human suffering factor. We'll cover that in a minute. Ukraine, what now, what next? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.